Hi and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. You know how much I love travel and corporate people. And today I have the privilege to have a senior corporate IT leader on this show who loves to solo travel. Vedashree Nagabhushan is a strategic leader with over 22 years of experience, has worked with very big companies in the senior leadership roles of power. She's working as a general manager, global head of testing in MFX Services, which is a Quest company, and has been a director in Capgemini, associate director in iGate, delivery manager in Wipro Technologies. Vedashree is a keen observer of life and has learned a lot while traveling to different countries, meeting different people from different cultures and backgrounds. She is also a leadership coach and chronicles her journey to leadership by writing in LinkedIn, and also hosts a podcast, Learning Through Conversations, where she interviews leaders. I personally know Vedashree and her fabulous journey of corporate leadership. I have been a corporate leader, and I know it's not easy to be one. There are a lot of challenges that they need to face and overcome just every day to do their best work. So stay glued as you're going to get a ton of tips and insights in this conversation. Hi, Vedashree. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Hina. Nice to be on your show. Again, meet up with you again.
Yeah, and I remember that we had a lot of fun when I was on your show and we just had a blast time. I really enjoyed that conversation.
Yes.
Okay, Vedashree, tell me about this. After spending 20 years in the corporate world, how's your corporate life now?
Corporate life 20 years back and now it's ever evolving. The challenges, the technology has changed.
Yeah,
I think I have survived through 3-4 recessions. And when 20 years back, the 2000 boom happened, you know, I was just coming up in the corporate life. I was just 3 years experience and all. Now with so many years, now we're in the age of AI technology. And there are challenges, but I think it's also exciting to be in this space and to have survived so much and to have reached a position where you can look back and enjoy the whole journey and look forward for new things. So yeah, I would say that corporate life is still interesting.
Awesome. And I'm going to ask you a few more questions around that in the times to come, like just later on the show. So now my question to you is, why did you choose this IT field and how and when the journey began?
So the truth is, my sister had taken up computer science and I had seen her printing a lot of COBOL code and all. I was just not interested in an IT field. I think I was kind of destined. So I didn't want to get into computer science because I'd seen my sister doing a lot of things and I was like, I will not go into that field. So I choose electronics in my BSc electronics is what I had chosen.
Okay.
But strangely enough, when I was preparing for my MBA and I wanted to do MBA, I wanted to be in the place of, you know, people business and people engagement, all such things. And I studied in Mount Carmel College. So Wipro came in, my first employer.
Okay.
It was very strange that whatever I had prepared for the MBA GMAT, that one book, Barron's one book, secondhand book, which I bought, all the questions that came from there in that interview. So I got through, and years back, I used to be a very shy and an indoor person, and people wouldn't know my existence, all such things. So I had to prepare for a JD for that interview. And that was the time when, you know, it was very interesting. I just want to share this where those were the times of Doordarshan. And in our house, it's still, we had not got the cable TV. So my cousin brother used to go and watch cable TV in the other houses and he used to come and share the experience. So the question in the JD they asked was like, whether you actually like, we should promote cable TV or we should just hold on to, you know, the national television channels as such. And I had read in the book that, you know, during the JD, you have to take a stand, you know,
Yeah.
So the girl, my friend actually, she was in the other group. She took a stand that we usually only stick on to the national television.
Okay.
And so I didn't have a choice, even though I don't watch the cable TV. So I took up that. And to my colleagues, surprise everybody, that I came across as the top five people who got selected for the window.
Ooh,
I think
nice.
That's how my journey started.
Hmm.
Even though it started reluctantly, where I had zero interest in computers, all such things. Over the period of time, probably after the Y2K era, I mean, I joined IT in 1997 as a VA student in Wipro. And through Wipro is where I did my four-year master's degree in BITS Pilani. So everything was covered, actually. You know, yeah. I wanted to do an MBA. I got an integrated MS. And by year 2000, we were done with the Y2K. So that's when the boom also happened. And I was wondering about what to do next. And then I got a small leadership role, you know, just to handle two people, three people. And I just realized that it suited me well.
Mm.
And that's when that probably the transformation happened, where my interest grew and I've kind of grown into be the head of the practice as of now. You know? So that's a short thing about my journey and how I started this field.
That's pretty interesting. And because I see that as I work with corporate professionals, I see that lots of people choose their career based on other interests, right? You know, others' interests, like some family member suggested or something was trending. And like when I was actually doing this, my MCA, and the reason I did was that IT was booming. And everybody was saying that, okay, do this. This is going to give you a good career. And I was not much interested in exploring my talents and strengths. And I was just going by what other people were, you know, talking about and just pushing me towards. So then I took up that career. And then later I realized that technology is not my thing. So it's good to know that, you know, if you you like this for yourself. And of course, some trigger was there, but then it was something of your...
It was an anti-trigger. Like I didn't want to...
Yeah.
It, I got into it and then I wanted to make the best out of it. And then I figured out a niche in that, you know, my area of interest as such. So it was a very interesting journey, I would say. Like, you know, you sometimes many people say you have to find the passion. I believe that, you know, until you get into something, you wouldn't know what you like, what you do.
Yeah, correct.
Sometimes challenges, we consider it as something, it is taking off track. But actually, challenges is what something like makes you, you know, come outside of that and position yourself strongly. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's as important to know what you don't like, as it is that what you like or passionate about.
When it comes to looking for a job, most people get it wrong. They would keep on using their one and only resume to apply for any and every open job position in their industry without getting clear on what's right for them. They would avoid correct and targeted networking and stay dependent on job sites. And the truth is that over 70% of jobs are never posted on job boards or job websites. Plus the wrong and scarcity mindset and lack of self-belief, and this is huge. But unfortunately, most job seekers don't deal with this. And no wonder that they keep on struggling with their job hunt, and most of them will make a compromise by accepting just any random job because they want money to pay the bills, which is a valid reason. If that's you, come join me on my job search coaching program where I guide you through with the right strategy, your mindset upgrade, which is about 80% in all my programs, and taking inspired and focused consistent action. You may book a free strategy call with me. Find the link on the episode page.
Vidashree, how do you describe yourself and what one word describes you the best?
So from a corporate life perspective or this thing, something which people generally tell to me and I feel myself is I'm very grounded and I'm very approachable. So these two things. I am in touch with my customers, which are 20 years back. They're still I'm in touch with them. So is my team members who are spread across the world. And they when they reach out to me and say that you kind of made difference, your presence made difference, or the write-up I do on the LinkedIn on leadership articles, that made a difference to me. They could connect and they resonate. I know that, you know, that ability of me to be grounded and also be approachable has has not only helped me people, but this is the true nature. No? Things have not changed just because of growth or anything. So that's something I definitely agree.
Right. And this is a very human approach to leadership, because when you are more human, when you are more approachable to people, when you are, you are operating from that compassion and empathy, which are the, you know, I think the born gift for every woman. Like when we are doing from that, we become better leaders.
It reminds me of a story of why this approach of mine became very critical. Like I said, after Y2K, we started getting development projects. Till then, it was more of enhancement, change that 00s to 2000, all such things. But then I had a difficult manager too. I was just 3 years experience, I would say, right out of college, you know, so with no corporate background, nobody at home knows the ways of work. And I think in Bangalore, after 1995 or something, that IT boom had started. It's just started. And everybody were trying to latch on. Then few were selected. And it was a new world for all of us. And I had a very difficult manager who didn't know how to handle people. So I was caught in the crossfire, and it was difficult for me. And when I figured out something and I came out of it and moved into a different project, and I and one of my colleagues, we were having discussion, and like he said, Veda, when we become managers, we shouldn't be like her.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that is something which has driven me in my leadership skill, this thing, that when you are in a position of power, you should not lose the touch with being human, like as you said. You know, you can be assertive at the same time approachable. You can still be nice at the same time have boundaries.
Absolutely.
This is something that I learned with my experience. So, you know, sometimes bad experience is also a good experience.
Of course.
I learned how to be transparent and how to... So when I started becoming leader, whether it is for 2 people or 200 people, whatever it is, that is the same approach. When I have difficult people to handle, I handle from a space of human connection.
Yeah.
Not from objectives, like you were supposed to do 4 things, you didn't do 4 things. So just on that point, like when I became the first time lead, I was handling a small team, and I was just given that role. So, you know, right, the team is given to you. You never get to choose the team. So
exactly.
You have to deal with the team, whatever you get. So there was a guy who used to come and always play. I don't remember the name. Those were the times when they were building the blocks kind of thing in computers with the games.
Okay.
So he would just be playing that. And then I kind of, first, like everybody, I would give things to him and he wouldn't do. And, you know, I realized that he's come from a very good background. He doesn't even have to work. He has enough money. But then he would just come and play and all such things. So I sat with him and spoke to him. I said, why is that, in spite of feedbacks, why are you behaving? He said, look, the person who was previous to me, they came and ashamed him in front of everybody that you are useless. So that anger, he was like continuing to play that games again. So I sat with him. I said that I gave him something to connect with. I told him that it is not for anybody. It is for you. And I saw that he changed.
Yeah.
I saw that he changed. And till I was the lead, he was there. And then when I moved out, he got a better job. And he wrote to me, thanks to you, kind of. Or he shared with me that, you know, because of this, I changed kind of thing. So I feel that is what makes us unique.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yes, absolutely. And coaching does a big role in leadership, because when you are managing a lot of people, they come from very different backgrounds. They come with very different blocks, very different aspirations, and different things motivate them, right? It's just not only money. Sometimes people get motivated by perhaps inspiration, like, you know, when you are leading by an example, or when you are giving them some kind of appreciation or praise that, you know, that can be a trigger to them. Different things work for different people. So it's very important to, first of all, you have that awareness, like, what is the trigger for this person, right? So that's where the coaching skills come. And I am sure that you are doing that good part on leadership coaching too.
Thank you.
Okay. Vidashi, what key challenges do you face on a day-to-day basis as a general manager at your work, and how do you overcome them?
See, I think there are different aspects to it. One is in an IT setup, there are technological changes.
Yeah.
I say technological change, every day there is a change in the technology. The things are happening at a very light speed, and we have to adopt it. Then there is a domain aspect to it. Whatever the work we do, there is a domain angle to that. And third angle is the people angle.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though when you look at from an AI perspective, all this thing, technology is changing faster, ultimately it comes to handling challenges with the people, because people are the ones who are using the technology.
Correct.
Whether it is the customer, whether it is us, whether it is the ecosystem, all the people. So I think the biggest challenge that as IT leaders we face is adapting to the changes.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, that's what I said, it could be any new thing which is coming up, any new people, any new process, everything new. You have to overcome that resistance to move on to that next level. You know, sometimes we deal with people who will say, customers who will say, why do we even have to do that? Such a small thing. It seems like, you know, every day you're doing, it's just like I'm brushing my tooth and somebody is questioning, why do you have to do that? And, you know, as a leader, you wonder, like, why would they ask that question? But that's what it is. There is so much resistance to change. That is one thing. And the second thing is that people, when it comes to people, you're dealing with people. There are different kinds of people with different backgrounds, different thought process, different cultures.
Yeah.
Because IT is just not restricted to India or someplace, right? It is across the world. Like, you will probably have a development team sitting in Russia, the design team sitting in US, and you are working from India, and you will have to coordinate with people. And these people are coming from different backgrounds. Their way of communication is different.
Yeah.
Their way of approach is different. So I feel two biggest challenges for any IT leader is embracing change and collaborating with the people for the better results. And the way we do is within the scope. Like, I handle testing part of it. We try to keep ourselves abreast. It's not only training. It's training is this thing, but like engaging in discussions, you know, taking up something new, trying to adopt it ourselves, trying out something new with the customer and sharing with them. And it's never, everything is not that straightforward, right?
Mm.
So you have to train people to get trained as well. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very important.
Changes. So you'll have to explain to them. And sometimes we think that, you know, because we are immersed in technology or anything, we assume the other person knows what it is.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to start. Even the other, if I'm dealing with the CEO of my customer or something, sometimes they may know, they may not know.
Yeah.
So not assuming and trying to engage them in the conversation and allowing ourselves to adopt, allowing others to adopt is the important thing in change, and having a lot of patience. You know?
That's very important.
Having a lot of patience and tolerance, yeah. Not assuming things is important for all the change. But when it comes to people, again, the same thing, you know, trying to understand if somebody is logging in from Israel, you should understand what is a timeline, what is our timeline, what is their thinking, or Russia or something. So it could be language, could be a barrier or the way of working. So understanding and seeing the people behind it, and, you know, I think these two things.
Fabulous. As you told about a lot of things, right, you know, it's very challenging to be a leader. You have to deal with a lot of issues that are expected, that some are unexpected. So how easy it is to get stressed in your kind of job role?
I mean, I think it's a question like everybody knows. It's the most easier things to get stressed. You know, you could be having a good Sunday evening with your family, and there could be one message, one mail which comes from the customer. Things didn't go well.
Yeah.
Things didn't happen on time. You know, it's like in the second nature of this job to get stressed.
Mm.
But you also learn. Like I didn't have any tools to start with, you know. It used to be really overwhelming.
Yeah.
First is earlier it was too much of overwhelming. Now I think the people have information overload. That's very stressful because there is information everywhere, and it's kind of an overload. The real challenge is because we are always working with a deadline and schedule, that your mind is always anxiety, in the anxiety.
Yeah.
Okay. And even after Friday, you know, after whatever is your log out time, you log out, it takes till Saturday afternoon to reset to your weekend mode.
Right.
So the stress is the truth of the life of IT, or, you know, I think it's now spread to other things also. But beautifully, I just happened, and I think, Hina, you also relate to this, that I stumbled upon tools and, you know, to cope up with things. You know, India is a home, the capital of yoga, for sure. But there are other tools and techniques which I have picked it up, which really help. And I think one of the things, biggest things I realized is perspective change, you know.
Yeah.
When I was a younger IT person, my way of thinking, and now the way of thinking, the way of looking at challenges, the way of seeing things has changed. And I think that is the biggest thing. When your lens are, you know, the perception is cleansed, the things will be known as they are. There's a line like that. So it's the way you perceive things. It's the way you perceive challenges. And it's the of yours which makes you see things in a different way.
Yeah.
Earlier, what could have been a challenge could turn out to be an opportunity, and that's how you kind of cope up. But I do have some of the techniques which I use it regularly to cope up with my, you know, stress.
Yeah. These kind of techniques definitely help, like EFT, like you know, some NLP techniques, and some the way, of course, you said that perspective needs to be changed. Of course, there would be stress, but then how fast we can come out of it, that is all about practice, you know, than knowing the theoretical stuff. It's more about doing, just practicing that stuff over and over again so that you become an expert to it. So that
one thing personally which has really helped me is like that Sakshi Bhav, or witnessing.
Yeah, right.
I think probably because I am a keen observer of life and keen observer of people, for me, just sitting and watching people, just relaxing and watching a crowd and seeing the dynamics of the crowd and all such things, it kind of gives a witness. And that's what I kind of see. This try to see. I mean,
yeah,
it takes some time for me to be out of the whole turmoil which is happening, but then I have, over the period of time, I have picked up to stay away and see things and, you know, be an actor as well as a witness, you know. So
Right. Sometimes
you are into it and you do what you have to do, and then sometimes you are out of it.
Right.
Probably my traveling has helped a lot, actually.
Yeah, this is what I was just about to ask you, because I know that you travel a lot and you are passionate about travel, and I am also very passionate about travel. I understand how does it help. But then I would like to hear from you. How does travel help you become a better leader?
I think if I had a magic wand, and if something could be changed in our education system, that is something I would do. Like, you know, everybody has to travel kind of thing. There's so much and so much that you learn, and you kind of imbibe in yourself without saying. The first day I traveled, landed in US, and then, you know, you're struggling to get that coin, quarter coins to put that
yeah.
2000 or something. And then you have to do things on your own. And back in India, it's like everything is set. Somebody will be there to cook, somebody will be there. The outsourcing, we have kind of really used the outsourcing to a greater extent. But you see that different, like when I was traveling in Europe versus US, like, you know, the way that transport is arranged, you know, the Europe is more so much focused on public transport.
Yeah.
And then you start wondering, like you question why something is like that, and you go and dig the history.
Yeah.
Right? You try, and then you understand people, and then the way they work, and how that reflects in the way they work, how their policies are made, and just engaging with people, just traveling, even in India, different parts, like if you're in South India, if you're in North India, like I've traveled all alone quite a bit of Europe, and you know most parts of the places, and every culture brings in something specific, something interesting. And without you realizing, you have picked it up, and only when you come back to your environment and somebody is doing same thing, and they're like, no, this is not the way it is done. It should be done this way. And you realize that time that things have changed.
I think
for me, this is what they teach in NLP, like concept of perspectives, right? You sit in your place, you sit in the person who is complaining, and then you sit in God's place and decide. So when you're traveling, this comes very naturally.
Yeah, right? I agree with that.
Right. It comes so naturally that you're trying to communicate something, and the other person in his environment and this thing is different. Like they keep saying, when we deal with customers, they say Indians do this and do this. It comes so naturally to us.
Yeah.
But for the customer, it is different. And then for us, 5 minutes, I mean, like that concept of time, like the Americans, the way they value time versus for us, the concept of time. I mean, it's not country specific, but I'm saying generally some of the things that we believe in, their concept of privacy, our concept of privacy. So I think, traveling just helps. And then sometimes I've done solo traveling. So you believe that for a lot of women, it's still so unsafe and they fear traveling alone. But I feel that, you know, you're taken care. And I've met one of the wonderful people in different contexts, in different time zones, not just in India, across, where they ensure that, you know, I'm safe and I'm kind of protected and whatever it is. So I think that kind of gives you a different confidence. And you bring that and integrate in your work, where you're ready to experiment, you're ready to embrace.
Correct. Right. I agree with that, because I love to solo travel too, as you know. It's like when you go alone, you don't, you know, come back the same as you were before you left. You come changed, and you meet so many people, and you pick up so many different people, you know, energies from the different people. And that makes you so intelligent. Travel makes you intelligent that you can easily use in your leadership style and, you know, contributing to the organization that you work with.
Travel makes us socially intelligent. So
yes.
It's not a challenge when somebody is not from your country, not from your region. It's like, okay, he's somebody with some kind of a cultural background, some this thing. You see it in that way, and then, you know, it's a different, fresh perspective.
Fresh perspective. Exactly. Right. Vedashri, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now in terms of your corporate job?
I think I would like to see myself growing in this role. I have reached a level of leadership, but next is probably in the boardroom or the executive level. And I would like to contribute back by being in positions of power, which is in decision making and impact corporate. You know, it's just not for technology or for the customer. It's also how it can impact the individuals and the society in general. That's how I see myself.
Contribution is very important. Like when we do something with the attitude of contribution and serving back the society, that does all the magic.
Which is probably why I started my leadership coaching as well.
Yeah.
I think we all do that, you know, naturally it comes to us. When you are in the you know position of handling teams as such, coaching comes naturally to you.
Yes, of course.
You have to deal. You have to coach your customer. You have to coach your team. You have to coach your next level. You have to coach your own managers to see the problems in a way that you want to see them. And I think it comes natural to us. It's not like you'll have to do something differently. But just to take it at the next level, give it more of a structure and see, you know, defined outcomes, which is what I'm trying to do now. I do write my stories on LinkedIn, you know, so that it kind of how some of the events have impacted and how it kind of transformed it to be a better leader or a better person in general, you know.
That's beautiful. I'm going to include all that information in the show notes section so that people can find your inspiring stories there. And I'm sure that you have a lot to contribute in terms of like as a leader to the place that you work for. Vedashree, what's the best way to contact you?
I'm there on LinkedIn. I also have given my Gmail ID in my LinkedIn banner just there. So LinkedIn would be a best place. Anybody can reach out. That.
Awesome. Your contact information is again in the show notes section and people can find you there and contact you. Thank you very much for your time today. I had a lovely conversation with you because this podcast is about corporate people and I love to have corporate people chat with corporate people on their corporate life. So you shared some amazing insights with us today. So thank you very much for your time and wisdom.
Thank you so much, Hina. I really enjoyed being on the show. All the best.
All the very best to you. Now, don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what are your key takeaways from this interview. That's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career-changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.